Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
And good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're heading into our second hour tonight. And Tim.
Yeah.
I'm jazzed.
I am too.
We have had every member pretty much of TAP's Ghost Hunters on our show.
Mm-hmm.
We were lucky enough to get Carla Baron, John Oliver, and Patrick Burns from the TV show Haunting Evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of our good friends here that's been talking to us for the last 2 years is Chris Fleming from the TV show Dead Famous, as mm-hmm. we see here in the United States on the Biography Channel. The one lone holdout. The
yep.
one paranormal diva. We've even had Carl and Yvette from Most Haunted on our show.
We have,
We've
yeah.
had Derek Acora.
Yep.
We've had, I totally forgot about the Most Haunted section.
Yep.
The one lone holdout. We've got her. Thanks to Mr. Chris Fleming making a call for us on our behalf.
Very
Ladies
nice.
And gentlemen, please welcome for the first time, and hopefully not the last, on the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show from the television show Dead Famous, Miss Gail Porter. Good evening, Miss Porter.
Guys, you know how to make an entrance. Well, I'm shocked.
Well, you know, we've been hoping to have you on the show for the last couple of years, and I know you've had a lot going on in your life, and with the show kind of, you know, not coming back for a while and not knowing what was going on. Chris had told us, you know, when things settled down, he'd help us try to get you on the radio show. And we were thankful that things lined up today that you're able to join us. So thank you for coming and spending an hour with us.
No, I'm absolutely thrilled to bits to be invited. And I'm just sorry that, well, you know, obviously to all your listeners and to you guys, you know, I'm based in the UK. So, I just haven't. Sort of, we haven't sorted out properly, and Chris phoned me today. He's like, "Hey, baby, will you do this for me?" And I was like, "Oh, you, baby."
Well, he calls you baby
terrible,
too.
Terrible accent. Yeah, he called you baby.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I thought I was the important one.
No, he doesn't call me baby. He calls my co-host Tim baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I smack him on the bum.
So now, Gail, for the people that exactly for the people that haven't watched the show, Dead Famous mm-hmm. is a really interesting television show dealing with the paranormal, where Chris Fleming, who's a psychic sensitive, goes along with his more skeptical co-host Gail, and they go check out trying to make connections with the spirits of dead celebrities. And the show aired for was it 3 seasons or 4? Did you do total?
We did 3 seasons.
3 seasons, including some live events that they were able to do. And Gail went along for the ride as the host of the show and trying to keep Chris in line, it looks like, from what we see over here on our version of the show. Now,
I heard you mention Carla Baron. Carla was on one of our shows.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'm with you, my friend. I'm
yes,
with you.
she has not been. She was kind to show up on our show the first year, and then she disassociated herself with us because we were friends with the other people on her show. So, yeah, it's just no love
you know
lost.
What?
There. Yeah.
Well, as you say about the program, like Chris is the psychic. Chris is into, and basically, I get on fantastic with Chris, but I've always got to play devil's advocate and say, well, you know, if you can contact these people, how do I know? How do I know you're telling the truth? How do you know what I mean?
Right.
Although I adore Chris to bits, and sometimes I had to be a bit harder than I would have had to do. But I think sometimes viewers want to say, well, that's fantastic that you say you can hear a voice or you know something. how do you know these things? So, I just always try and play the hard bit. And although we had a few run-ins and he's just a bit narky with me, we're absolutely the best of friends. And I think he appreciated my role. And I'm a big believer in all things. You know, I believe some things out there, but I need to be the voice of the people that say, well, how do you know these things? Explain.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what, you know, we hang out with Chris all the time at our live events that we host here in the United States. And we always have to ask Chris, too. Chris, well, how do you know this? But, you know, I've seen some of the most amazing things hanging out with Chris.
Absolutely.
Spirit activity. And that's what I always loved about watching the show. I have to laugh, Gil, and we've picked on you a little bit here in the past when we've had Chris on, and I say, you know, with a skeptical co-host, you don't seem so skeptical because you're kind of jumpy on a lot of the shows we watch out here.
Oh, I'm very, very jumpy. And, you know, the more that Chris and I have got to know each other off the show, you know, I believe in so many things, but you've got to remember my job was to say why all the time. And, you know, sometimes he'd explain things and I could feel something. But I've got to remember there's people out there watching the show thinking, well, okay, you felt something. I don't feel something. Explain.
Right.
And so you're trying to get it sort of in black and white how we feel these things. And it's very difficult. You know, we'd argue like cat and dog. It's almost like being married. I said that to Chris. I said, it's like we're married.
Yeah, we noticed. I think we picked on him, too, in the first episode we had on here. I said, so how long have you two been? I said, how long have you two been dating or married? And he starts laughing.
No, we do get on so well, and I think, you know, I've learned so much from Chris. He's such an amazingly wonderful, talented man, but, you know, it was difficult trying to do a show because he...
Are we still talking about Chris Fleming? No, I'm just kidding.
I was actually talking about you.
Oh, there we go. That's much better.
But he would get so sensitive and think that it was a personal attack, whereas it wasn't. You know, it was a new show, and we were just trying to get every single aspect. And it wasn't a personal attack. It was like, come on, man, you got to remember, I'm asking you questions that all the public are going to be asking. I know you feel these things, but for some people, it's a complete new entity, isn't it?
Well, now, when you started doing this, now, you didn't have much background in the paranormal to begin with, right? You'd kind of grown up through the modeling line and hosting of other shows. And then they approached you about doing this. What were your thoughts going into this? I mean, were you a hardened skeptic when you started doing the show or just didn't believe in most of this?
No, I've never been a skeptic. I'm one of those people. I believe in everything as long as someone can give me a reasonable explanation. You know, I'd love to believe in. But I was just saying, one thing I always said to Chris, I said, you know what? I'd love to see a ghost. I'd love to see an apparition. And unfortunately, I never ever saw one. And Chris is like, yeah, but it's not all about ghosts. And he's completely correct. But I had this ideal fantasy that I was going to see some apparition. But, you know, I felt things. I feel things all the time. So, no, I wasn't a hardened skeptic. I was more a realist. I wanted to believe, but I hadn't experienced anything.
Now, did the model, you know, we watch a lot of the TV shows about models here in the United States, and they're very catty. Was it strange to have to share, you know, a TV show with somebody just about as pretty as you?
Was he walking around going...
Yeah, was he always walking the catwalk doing the ghost hunt thing for you?
He's all like, you better work, Gail.
You work it, girlfriend.
That's right.
No, I wasn't a model. I did a degree in film and I worked in television, and then for some reason I got a photo shoot for, like, I think you've got the same sort of magazines as Squire and FHM and GQ, and they asked me to take pictures of me, and I thought it was a joke. So that's when I started believing the paranormal. So if I get pictures in a magazine, something really weird must be happening, man.
Well, you know, when the show came out, I'd found the article about it, and I called Tim, my co-host here, because we were looking for great guests, and I said, hey, did you hear about this new show on the Biography Channel? He goes, yeah, dude, that has got one of the hottest hosts I've ever seen. And I said, yeah, Gail Porter's pretty cute. And he said, oh, I was talking about Chris.
No,
we're just kidding. But wow, holy striking.
Hey guys, you know, you can keep your sexuality to yourself.
Hey, I was all talking about you, Gail. That's all I'm saying. But
with Tim Tappy.
Yeah, well, we don't try to interfere in the strange love between Tim and Chris. We find it's best just to let it run its natural course.
Honestly, do you know what?
You know what they say, Gail? If you swing like a pendulum, you got a double chance for a date on Saturday night.
That's true.
Not so much if I'm in London.
That's right.
It's a bit difficult. But, no, honestly, Chris was one of the best people I've ever worked with. But it was honestly like a marriage because we were sort of on different sides of the pendulum, Chris. Tim. Yeah, you know, we kind of just got on with things and we learned a lot from each other. And he's a really special guy and I love doing it and I miss it. So we're trying to do some sort of project on our own, hopefully, so we can come back and do a bit of Gil Porter and Chris Fleming again, you know.
Well, you know, and we'd love to work out. We're right now trying to work along with a few friends over in the UK to do one of our live events over in Europe. And we would love
anything you want. Yeah. Give us a call. Well,
we'd love to have
you
out there. That would be great to have the two of you out and doing the show. Now, let me ask you, when you started.
Chris sent me a package the other day, and just like lots of little bits and pieces for my daughter. And he sent me a T-shirt with these, you know, it's got a picture of Chris on it, and it said Spirit Talk. And the thing is, my boyfriend was the guy that filmed Dead Famous. And so I put the T-shirt on, and my boyfriend said, "I'm not sleeping with you and Chris Fleming. You can take that off right now." I'm having no menage a trois. It's not happening.
Oh, jeez. That's just not fair. Poor Chris. He's not there to defend his T-shirt version of himself. But
it's very cool. I love it today.
You know, I watched the Chicago episode when you guys were out at Rico D's. And
I was so cold.
Yeah, and you were up in that top bedroom, and it looked like something had come over you. Like, you know, I know Chris almost refers to it as a form of possession. Now, when you look back at some of the episodes like that, do you feel that you were being mucked about with by the spirits, or do you feel that it was just kind of one of those late night, tired?
Definitely. There's something with about three episodes of Dead Famous that, I mean, I'm not very good at watching myself anyway, you know. It's like, I'm sure when you hear your own voice, you don't like listening to your own, you know, your phone messages and stuff. I don't like listening to my voice. But there's three episodes of Dead Famous that I can't watch because I genuinely didn't know what happened to me. And it makes me extremely uncomfortable. And I think, you know, I'm always the one that goes, "Oh, maybe it was this, maybe it was that." But no, right. I believe Chris. Something very strange happened to me in a lot of episodes of Dead Famous. And because I was trying to be the hardened skeptic, I'm so Scottish, you know, you always try and make out something. It must be something sensible. Sure. But no, I believe Chris. Something strange happened to me on many occasions. And
what would you say was probably the most frightening point for you during the show? Was there a point that wasn't just TV frightening, but actually really impacted you in your life with what you did?
I was doing an episode about Lucille Ball, and we went to a hotel called the Del Colorado, and I completely lost control of my body, everything, and I've only recently watched it back. I think I must have watched it back about a year ago, and it happened about two or three years ago. And I don't remember anything that happened in that hotel room. And I was hysterical, I was crying, I was on my knees. Chris is pure white, trying to get whatever it was. You know, he's holding my hand, going, "Get out of Gail, what's going on?" And I don't remember a single thing about it. That was pretty scary.
Well, now, did you feel yourself that during the run of the show, do you feel that you made any real connections with the spirits of the actual celebrities you were searching for? Or did it always seem to be kind of superfluous ghosts, other spirits maybe in the area?
I think most of the times it was other spirits. I think because I was more vulnerable than Chris, I think I attracted more vulnerable spirits than Chris did. You know, he's very focused, he knows who he's looking for, whereas I'm there just kind of going along with him with an open mind. And I think I was more often something happened to me by someone, an innocent bystander, a spirit, as opposed to him, he's my favorite, because he's got the ability to focus and I didn't have that.
Oh, okay. Was there any of the celebrities that you, when you did the show that you wish you would have been able to do? Is there somebody that was along the lines of the fame that you were really hoping to make a connection with?
I think Frank Sinatra, because I thought, you know, everyone loves Frank Sinatra, but I bet he had a real naughty side, didn't he? He had a real nasty side to him. Well, I'm just saying, obviously.
Right.
That's what I think. But, yeah, I think that would have been quite cool to understand what he'd gone through in his life. But no, everyone. I mean, we did Bette Davis. We did Joan Crawford. We did everyone. We had the best time. I mean, it was tiring because obviously you do all the history during the day, you know, what these people were like. And then we would do our hauntings and spooks at night time. So we were literally up all day, all night, fear asleep, and then we're on again. So it was hard for both of us, you know, and the whole crew, of course. You know, it was a lot of work.
Did you ever get the feel that at any time that, you know, you guys were kind of losing control of the haunting that was taking place there? Did you ever, I mean, you know, I know you said afterwards, but beforehand, like while you were filming, was there something that you just thought, oh, crap, we just should not be here. We should not be involved in this.
There was a few, well, not that you should be involved, but there was a time when when we're doing Lucille Ball, and the minute we walked into this hotel room in Adele, Colorado, and I walked into the hotel room, and I instantly thought, I feel like a dark cloud has just gone right over me. And I couldn't explain it, because, of course, I'm supposed to be the skeptic. I'm thinking, no, I'm cool, it's fine. Chris will handle the situation. But if you speak to Chris again, I think he'll explain it much better than I could. But, you know, because he took control of the situation and looked after me. But I thought, this is very wrong. I shouldn't be here. But I'm professional.
Right. Now, you know, we actually, for the first time, I was at this Queen Mary here this year. And
That is an amazing place, isn't it?
And Chris actually began to channel some spirits by the pool. And
we got something at the pool.
It's very frightening to watch happen for somebody when it first happens, when somebody starts to channel. When you were around Chris, I mean, did it take you off guard when he would begin letting these spirits come through him? Was there would he say, okay, Gail, I'm going to try to channel this spirit, or did they just kind of take over?
Oh, no, the first time it happened, I was sort of looking around me thinking, is this one of those hidden camera shows?
Oh, right.
Am I on screen here? And I'm looking, thinking, is he all right? What's going on? So I've never seen that in my life before. And then he's doing the voices, and I'm a bit thinking, okay, hello.
Right.
But, you know, once I got to know him, I understood, you know, we talked about it a lot afterwards. Although it was very difficult for me to understand for a long time, because I thought, well, I don't understand this at all. You know, I'd never come across it. I'm a good very cynical Scottish girl.
Sure.
So, once I got to understand it, it was much easier for me to comprehend. But of course, I was like you. The first time you did it, I thought, are you having a laugh? What are you doing?
Right. Right.
Is anyone here? What's going on?
It actually looks silly in a sense when it's going on, because he's like, you know, throwing his body around and it's, you know, trying to come out of him, which is, you know, but then as you start watching and this, you know, just how severe his face gets and the voices that seem to try to pour out of him, I mean, it gets kind of frightening. I just didn't know how did your crew respond to things like this? Did they, you know, were they kind of laughing about it at first too and then get a little worried? I mean, was there ever concern that, yikes, this isn't good, we shouldn't be here?
I think there was only one time when Chris sort of got a little bit out of hand, where we were worried about his safety and what was going on. But they were like me. In fact, you know, I'm Scottish, okay? So I can kind of take quite a lot. Like, my crew wrote English, so they've got the stiff upper lip going, okay, he's doing stuff. Right. You know, what are we going to do now? Well, well, he appears to be Sammy Davis Jr. it was all very bizarre, and everyone was a bit kind of, you know, we were a completely different culture, and they were all doing a stiff upper lip. But once we got to know Chris and we knew what was going on, it was so much easier for us to deal with. But you know what the British are like? They'll deal with anything.
Right.
You know, he could cut off his leg and they'll still keep filming it. Oh, well, obviously it's some sort of American thing. So they all just kept going. But no, it was a brilliant experience for all of us, and we got to know so much about Chris. And it's nice because we all accepted him for who he is and what he's got, although it was slightly unusual when we first started.
Well, did you? And I don't want to put you on the spot with Chris here and try to cause any waves, but did you ever, at any point doing this, you know, when you work with him, and we love Chris, I mean, he's like a brother to us up here, you know, we hang out with him, we see him at all these events, but there's times when he's doing something or something, you just want to say, oh, this just sounds like the biggest crock of crap I've ever heard, you know.
I mean, do you know, Chris and I have argued like cat and dog, because I need to know what's going on, how is this happening, are you not making it up, how do I know you're not making it up, because I'm not psychic, so how do I know that you are psychic, because I can't feel what you're feeling, blah, blah, blah. And we do argue, and we ask lots of questions, and but, you know, I respect Chris. He's a friend of mine, and, you know, we can argue and argue until the cows come home, but, you know, whatever he believes, I'll go along with him and think, okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but show me some proof.
Right, exactly.
Show me proof. Come on, this could be rubbish. And, no, you know, everyone's different, and I think my naivety was when I started the program was that obviously I'm right, you're wrong, but you know, that's why I'm divorced. That's what I said to my ex-husband, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm divorced now.
Wow, that's the same thing that's happened to me twice. They're always wrong, I'm right. How does that happen?
Well, exactly, how does it happen?
Well, we're going to take our first break of the hour here. Gail, stick with us. And thank you all for tuning in and sticking with us here on The Darkness on the Edge of Town. We'll be back with more with the co-host and the prettier side of dead famous, Miss Gail Porter.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Me llamo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from The Darkness on the Edge of Town. Two ghosts walk into a bar and see another ghost at the bar point at them and yell, boo. One of the ghosts yells back, boo-hoo. And the ghost at the bar yells back, well, you don't have to cry about it. Ah, hell, you try writing this.
You magnificent bastard. I salute you.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town paranormal radio show. We're here with you every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to midnight Central Time. Tell your friends, neighbors, wake up the dog. Let them know that the show is on. You can also check out our archives. We archive every show. You can check them out on our site by going to darknessradio.com, click on the Listen tab, or you can visit our sister site by going to www.planetparanormal.com. There you'll find a ton of other great paranormal radio shows, and you can subscribe to our RSS feed. Is that right? RSS feed, Tim?
You got it.
So they can actually never miss an episode. It'll alert you when a new episode has been posted, and we are on iTunes.
It just dumps. If you have an iTunes account, it'll just dump right into your iTunes account. You fire it up on your computer, and it'll be there waiting for you.
Yeah, so that way you never miss an episode, so please join us every week. And also, if you have any ideas, tips, hints on who you'd like to hear on our show, just contact us. You can send an email to dave@darknessradio.com. Give me some background information and any contact information you have for the potential guests. We'll be happy to look into it and see if we can bring them on the show. Right now, we're going to go back into tonight's show. We're talking to Gail Porter, who is one of the co-hosts of the television show Dead Famous, as seen in the Biography Channel. And Gail, before we went to break, we were kind of talking about the, you know, seeing Chris and doing these things. Now, you worked with other psychics on the live shows as well. Were there times that you felt, you know, was there any of the people that you involved yourself with, or even people as you filmed the show, when you'd go to their place and they'd say, oh, yeah, we think there's a ghost here. Did you ever think that you were just getting a feeling that they were completely mad? And it wasn't just, you know, that they were making things up. It's just that they were nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll leave it there, huh?
No, I'm not going to name names, but Chris and I would occasionally. The thing is, you know, I'm based in London, so, you know, we're a lot more stiff upper lip. And you go to America, and it seems sometimes like every second person was psychic. And there was one time we did a live show, and we had something like seven psychics on the show. And I could remember my director shouting to me in my earpiece, going, keep them all together, and they're all feeling different things, and they're all over the place, they're running everywhere. And I was like, how, it's like, what do you call a group of psychics? I was like, do you call them a gaggle of psychics? I don't know. they're all running all over the place, and they're all doing different things, and they all seem to want to out-psychic each other. And it is a shame, because I think a lot of people do prey on the vulnerable. And, you know, Chris would never do that. And sometimes we'd see people that seem to prey on people's innocence, and the fact that they really wanted to contact someone that had deceased. So it was difficult trying to decipher who was real and who wasn't real, and because you don't want to cast a doubt on someone, but sometimes it was difficult, and sometimes Chris would say, that's not real, she's not real, this is not real. And for me, who doesn't really understand who knows what and who doesn't know what, you try extremely hard to be impartial and accept their version of things, and then Chris is saying, no, they're wrong, she's wrong, she's right, this is right. And I'm thinking, how are you supposed to decide who's telling the truth and who's in this for the money game? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So it was quite hard, but there were certain people that I worked with that were extremely on the mark, even if they said something personal to me or Chris, and you'd be a bit like, wow, you know, how would they know that thing? And then other people you'd think, you're just making this up because you want to be on television.
Oh, sure.
So we had to be very sort of aware of people's, what they actually wanted out of life and what they wanted for themselves. Was it a personal gain, or were they actually genuinely doing it for the good of other people? So you've got to be very skeptical. And I always explain that to Chris, and I said, you know, it makes it difficult for me because I don't feel these things that you feel, and I've got to take on trust who's good and who's not good. So it doesn't make it easy for Chris either, because obviously he believes in everything he does, and yet some people were doing it for the good of the bank balance. So
right.
It's quite difficult to, because you have to take a lot of these people on their word, because personally I don't feel these things. So I think, well, are they telling the truth or are they lying? To give them some sort of infamy, you know, to make them more famous or to make them feel good about themselves, or are they actually doing it for the good of the people that we're looking for? So, yeah, it's difficult.
I would assume just having to do that, but boy, I can't even imagine. Tim, could you imagine at the event running around and having seven psychics spinning off like the little Tasmanian devils that they are and sensing? And
I used to watch them thinking, oh my goodness, it was like working with a bunch of kids at one point, because I was like, okay, everyone, we've got two microphones, we've got seven psychics, and you're all running around all over the place. I can't film you all, dudes. Come on, calm down.
Did they ever get in? And we didn't get to see the live episodes here in the United States.
No, that was just for the UK.
Right. Did they ever, did the psychics ever start going at each other because they were sensing different things and combating?
Well, there was one point when they were all getting possessed at different points by different people, and I was thinking, oh, come on, man, how difficult do you want to make my job? I'm trying my hardest here to believe, and yet you're all over the place. Trying to get them into one place. I remember my director shouting in my earpiece, going, for God's sake, keep them together. I was like, oh, you try and keep seven psychics together. What am I supposed to do?
Now, how do
but no.
Have you had the chance mixing and mingling with these shows? I mean, have you guys interacted at all with the cast of Most Haunted, being another English show?
Oh, no, they hate us.
What? They hate you?
They were like, when Dead Famous came up, you know, they were doing Most Haunted in Britain, and then suddenly we came up with this idea, well, I didn't, but the producers came up with the idea to do it in America, and suddenly they thought of us as a bit of a threat. And I remember Derek Acora once walked past me at some psychic gathering that we're at, and he couldn't speak to me because he's going, you don't understand, you're psychic. I was like, okie dokie. And he's going, no, you were psychic, man. And he wouldn't speak to me. He was convinced I was psychic. And it was all very bizarre. But also, like, the host of Most Haunted, they felt like we were treading on their toes because we were doing an American version. So they didn't really get on with us very well, which I always thought was quite bizarre, because I think, you know, everyone's entitled to do whatever they want to do, and we were just sort of enhancing the idea about psychics, but we were working in the American market. But no, they had nothing to do with us, really.
How are they the same, Gail? I mean, aren't the premises of the show different? Why would they think there was some competition? I mean,
That's what I never understood, because it was completely different. We were looking for a certain person in America, and also we did a little bit like We did a bit of history about the person. So say we're doing Bette Davis, we do a bit about her background, how she grew up, what her life was like, and then we go to certain places directly associated with her. Whereas in Most Haunted, they go to a haunted location and they see what happens. So it was very different, but I think we felt that we were stepping on their... They were stepping on their toes for some reason, but it was very different.
Well, I'm curious, too, with the shows in America, the top kind of got torn off the box here. We've got, you know, we show Most Haunted, Dead Famous, Haunting Evidence, Psychic Detectives, The Ghost Hunters, Medium, Ghost Whisperer, Supernatural. I mean, we have shows going crazy, Moonlight about a vampire. We've got all these paranormal shows on the air out here.
Do you know what? Moonlight has just started over here. It looks really cool. I'm going to start watching that.
Yeah, now are you guys seeing a big influx of paranormal shows appearing in Britain now? Or?
Well, we've got a channel here called Living, and Living Television, bizarrely, Living does all the dead programs. But,
Living devoted to the dead. Okay, good.
Living devoted to the dead. How ironic. But there's a huge influx of... I mean, we get Psychic Detectives, we get Crossing Over with John Edwards. We get all these programs on Living, and people are fascinated. You know, when I go to the gym of a morning, you can guarantee someone will say, right, in episode 4, what did you really think? I was going, okay, enlighten me. Which one was episode 4 again? But people are fascinated, and I think it is a fascinating subject because it's, you know, it's the unknown. We don't know. We can just speculate, and we can believe in people like Chris, and we can believe in people that profess to see something, and a lot of people want to believe, and I want to believe, but it's the unknown. It's people want to know the unknown because it's absolutely fascinating, and I find it fascinating. And that was one of the, you know, I've worked in television since I was 21, and I'm now the ripe old age of 37, and I'm still fascinated by everything.
Well, so you started... No, give us a little bit of your background. What all did you do on television before you got involved with Dead Famous?
Oh, goodness. I did a degree in film, and then I thought I was going to work behind the scenes, but I ended up doing children's television. I did a show here called Top of the Pops, which was the chart show, which was on every week.
Oh, right. That was like American Bandstand here in the United States,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I hosted that for 3 years, and then I did... Like you said, I did a bit modelling. I did front covers for GQ and FHM. I used to have really long blonde hair, and then I contracted alopecia, which, if anyone doesn't know, it's a disease which means all your hair falls out. So it happened when I was working on Dead Famous, so I was lucky enough to be with someone like Chris and all the crew who gave me so much support. And so now I'm sort of like the famous bald girl in Britain. But I just took to it quite, you know, I thought either you feel sorry for yourself and say, oh, poor me, I've got no hair. But I've never really felt like that. I just think, well, things happen in life. You get on with it. And I look like I've just walked off the set of Star Trek.
Well, you're talking to two bald guys, so we're all for baldness. We think that's great.
Oh, we love baldness.
That's right. So
now
you got that during the course of filming the show. I'm just curious, you know, I I'm not as up on all the names on Most Haunted. One of the characters on their show, he developed it too, didn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, because they had mentioned that to us when we had Carl and Yvette on the show. They said, I can't remember the gentleman's name right now, but he developed alopecia as well. And
I remember telling my mother when I was in America, I said, Mom, I've got alopecia on my hair fell out. She went, that'll teach you what I'm doing with spirits. I said, I'm sure the spirits have got much more important things to do than worry about my hair loss. You know, I'm sure it's got nothing to do with that.
Well, I don't know. You know, all the ghost hunters over here, you know, Tim, myself, Jason from Ghost Hunters, you know, all the good ones are bald. So it's got to have something to do with the spirits.
We're so intelligent. Our
That's
brain
right.
is pushed out our hair.
Excellent. See, Tim, we're finding more and more reasons why bald
exactly.
is even more beautiful.
I love it.
It's brilliant. Oh, thanks, dudes.
Now, does that, you know, I mean, with doing the show, did that have any influence with ending the show when you started to become ill, or was it just that it kind of ran its course for you?
It was basically, I think, the company that we're working for just thought, you know, we've done 3 years, It was just sort of getting to the end of it. But Chris and I have been in talks, and we'd love to do something ourselves. So, you know, don't, you know, just wait. We'll be back on your screens. We'll be doing something more exciting and more fun.
Now you're going to go after dead not-so-famous people?
dead infamous.
Yes, exactly. Well, that'd be great. Where are you at in your career now? You've got a book out, and people can read this.
I've written a book. It's sort of, it's a bit, you know, so many celebrities write books saying, oh, I had a wonderful sex, drugs, rock and roll life. I had none of that.
Oh, so it's a big seller for you then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's huge. Oh, it's massive. Now, it's more about, you know, dealing with the program and also just sort of dealing as a female who's got no hair and just saying, do you know what? So many people say, oh, poor you, poor you. And I think, well, I don't think poor me. I've got a beautiful daughter. I've got a successful career. I'm just a bit bolder than most of the other counterparts I work with. So it's kind of a positive book saying, do you know what? It's not the end of the world. I'm not dying. So right. I'm an extremely lucky person, you know. I just have a bald head. So I just have different sort of blokes chatting me up than I did before. I got Trekkies chatting me up as opposed to handsome boys.
Hey, now, be gentle. I still think you looked hot on the show. There's no issue there.
Oh, you're
of course,
so
I've
funny.
Got my Star Trek shirt on right now, so that doesn't, I didn't do any good there, did I?
You got your Spock ears on.
Hey, that's natural, okay? It's natural. Now, with the book, is it available all over the world? Do you have it in different spots? I mean, is it Borders?
It's available
Amazon?
On the internet. It's Ebree Publishing, and it's Gail Porter, and it's called Laid Bare. Because I am pretty much laid bare, no hair, no nothing, and it's kind of what you see is what you get. But it's not, it's a pleasant enough book. It's just, I wrote a book about memoirs, about working, and it was more to sort of bring to the public's opinion, you know, it's not that bad. And so many people suffer from alopecia. A lot of women lose their hair through chemotherapy and radiotherapy. And I just thought, you know, I don't want anyone to think that because we've got no hair, we're not as good as anyone else. And, that's the sort of book it is. It's nothing salacious, nothing awful, but it's sort of a feel good, you know.
Man, come on. So there's no dirty stories about Chris Fleming during the filming and waking in on him making love to the spirit of Marilyn Monroe? Or
by the time that he dressed up as a girl. No.
Wow. Wow. I thought he only did that on our paid events, Tim. What the heck?
Are you paying well enough?
He'll do anything. Excellent.
No, nothing like that at all. It's just it's kind of a feel-good book for anyone that's gone through any kind of troubles. And so I've done that, and I'm working on lots of shows in the UK and hoping to do something with Chris again. Because I must admit, as much as we niggled with each other like a married couple when we were doing the show, I miss him to bits. And I miss being in America, and I miss working with him. So hopefully we'll do something soon.
Well, we've got to take our last break for the hour. Stick with us, and thank you again for being here with us this evening. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show with our guest, Gail Porter.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves! She moves!
Thank you. Thank you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on the Darkness on the Edge of Town. The smell of voodoo hangs in the air. Either that or Dave and Tim had the 7-bean salad for dinner.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Somebody open the window.
Welcome back to the Darkness, or whatever is hanging in the air, on the Edge of Town.
Tim,
yeah.
We have got a lovely, elegant woman from the UK, you're going to put the fart bumper on.
Only the best for Miss Porter.
Wow, she's never going to be doing our show again. I just know it.
Top-notch entertainment.
I guess. Well, Gail, let me ask you here. Since you've done the show, have you yourself had any paranormal experiences, anything that ever seemed to follow you home from the show?
Well, it's difficult to say because I must admit, I phone Chris quite a lot now, and I said to him, I'm much more open to things. And my daughter says I think there's something in my house. And my daughter sometimes points to the corner of our bedroom. She said, "Do you see him over there?" And I'm, you know, usually I would sort of shrug it off, but because I've worked with Chris, I think, yeah, you know what, I feel something strange in this house. Nothing malicious, but I'm much more open to feeling things and to figuring out what's going on. And yeah, no, I think it's taught me a lot. I think I've learned a lot of lessons from being a complete skeptic and Scottish, like, no, of course that's not possible.
See, we missed our chance. We just interviewed Marianne Winkowski for the first hour of tonight's show, and she's the one that the TV show Ghost Whisperer is based on. And what she does is she talks to people, and if they have a ghost in their house and you're at home, she can tell you where it is and what it's attached to. Maybe next time we have Marianne on the show, Tim,
yeah,
we should...
Yeah, well, you can call me.
Yeah,
and
let's get Gail on. And
see if she... Because I know a woman who came to my house, and she... I didn't tell her a thing about the house. She was just sort of hanging out. And she came into my bedroom. She started looking around the house. I was going, this is this.
Wait a minute. People just come hang out at your house and get to hang out in your bedroom, Gail?
Oh, people just get to hang out in my house anyway, you
know.
Damn it. We'll be right over.
Yeah, we're coming over. Hold on.
Okay. But, yeah, she came straight to the point where I thought something was. And she's like, there's something in that corner. And I thought, wow, that's quite bizarre.
Wow.
But can I tell you, the one thing I do miss about working in America is you have the most insane advertisements when you're on television. And it goes, you want to lose weight? Wow, take this tablet. Please be aware of nausea, diarrhea, da-da-da. Like, wow. You're amazing, you guys in America. You go, yeah, you can look beautiful, but you're going to be in the toilet for a long time.
Tim, how sad is it that she does a better American accent than we do?
I know. Pretty bad.
Yeah, but on the other side, Gail, see, over here, it's scandalous to have posed topless and then be on television. But over there, it's like everybody's been topless. I don't know any...
I'll laugh it over here.
Yeah, I don't... you guys, it's like naked TV in Britain. You know, every time
I... because you've got people like Carmen Electra and Paris Hilton has not exactly been whiter than white, has she?
No, but they're... Like, you know, but like I said, if they were to appear in... Because you guys have... what is it? Like a Page Six girl or something they call it out there? And it's like on...
Oh, no, a Page Six... No, I never did that. No one saw my boobies, but they saw my bum. I did... I did a picture for FHM. It was on the front cover of FHM, and basically it was my back and my bottom, and I was looking over my shoulder.
Yes, we're looking at that portrait right now.
They projected it onto the House of Parliament.
Really?
Could you imagine? Yeah, it was on the Houses of Parliament.
So Parliament's never looked so good.
So now, wait, you're telling us, see, because I pull up, so we can throw a nice picture up on our website. I pulled up Gail Porter, looked at images. So you're telling me there's no topless shots here? There's 1,000 topless shots of you online.
Well, they kind of got a little bit of a top on. I've got hands over them or something.
Ah, okay. Well, then, so some of these are faked? What the heck? Tim, we can't. And don't worry, we're not putting up the topless photos of you, Gail.
Could you imagine, though, I had to phone my grandfather and say, hi, Grandpa. It was on the news. It was on all the news. Gail Porter's bottom is on the Houses of Parliament. And I phoned Grandpa, like, hey, dude, how you doing? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, hi, Grandpa. You know how you fought in 2 world wars? He's like, yeah. I was like, my arse is on Parliament. Anyway, I love you. Bye.
Well, you know.
Well, Grandpa said to me, well, you know, I fought 2 world wars. Your bum's hardly an issue. I was like, oh, thanks, Grandpa. Stiff upper lip.
Well, that's
very English indeed. Yeah,
well, see, but yeah, you guys have got that. We've seen your commercials over here, too. There's a lot of, you know, body humor that we can't get away with over in America. That's why shows like
Benny Hill and
Kenny Everett and all these shows come out, and they're like... All the Americans clamor for the silly stuff you guys have over in your, you know, in Europe that we don't get over here.
Oh, I remember when I was little, I used to hide behind the sofa because I wanted to watch Kenny Everett because I thought it was so funny. But my dad wouldn't let me because he was very prudish, and I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. You know, anything that's got any sort of bodily functions or boobs or pumping or anything like that, I thought it was the best program in the world.
All right, now thanks. You just said those words in an English accent, and Tim just dropped to the floor, shaking. Thanks, Gail.
Well, so it's like, you know, I think you've got Ricky Gervais over there now, haven't you? He did The Office.
Oh yeah, he's what's that new show? The Riches. Oh no, The Office. That's right.
Oh, no,
I was thinking of Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just amazing.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Ricky, he's on a lot of stuff out here too, with the influence and
a
lot of our TV.
Yeah, we've got some real good comics, and but you guys, you know, I'm a big fan of Will Ferrell. I love that stupid comedy.
Oh, yeah.
I think he did a show called Anchorman, which I just thought was the funniest thing.
See.
Did you ever see Anchorman?
Yeah, oh yeah. Ron Burgundy, yeah. We've.
Yeah, and you love it when he's got somebody put in the autoprompter a question. He goes, I'm Ron Burgundy. Can you put the question mark at the end of the autoprompter? He's like, oh, he's so funny.
Now, did you guys have to work at all with the autoprompter out there, or was it totally unscripted, or was there a little format of a script?
No. We'd have, the opening link when we were explaining where we're going would be written, and then everything else, Chris and I would just do ourselves. We'd just sort of, we'd talk about how we felt, what we were going through, and we'd either argue or get on like a house on fire or cry because we were freezing cold, because the days were extremely long. And you know, Chris was amazing, he was so good. Whereas I was a bit, you know, we were in Pittsburgh looking for Andy Warhol, and I felt I was going to die of coldness.
Well, there was the one episode when you guys were out in like the cemetery, and Chris goes, well, I'm going to go over here, Gail, but I'll be right within earshot, and you know, just call out for me if you, and you're like, Chris, and you're screaming for like 10 minutes. Yeah. And Chris is off somewhere, and all of a sudden he goes, oh, is that Gail? And he starts chugging towards you. With the crew, I mean, did having the crew around make you feel a little safer?
Well, not really, because one of the things that we did on this show was we had our own cameras.
Right.
We would give Chris and I a handheld camera and say, like, run into the middle of the cemetery at midnight and we'll catch up with you in about 10 minutes. And that was the time when Chris said, yeah, man, just call me anytime, I'll be with you. I'm like, Chris. And then eventually he comes, he's like, hey, man, what's the problem? I was like, what's the problem? I was like, he's wise. Like, what do you mean, what's the problem? He's left me in the middle of the cemetery in the middle of the night. Oh, my God. Like, wow, man, chill. I was like, chill, you chill. So, no, it was extremely, you know, sometimes people say, because I met my boyfriend on the shoot, and he's the cameraman, and people say, oh, where did you meet your boyfriend? And I said, well, we were in Texas with 10 lesbian witches looking for the ghost of Buddy Holly.
10 lesbian witches and the ghost of Buddy Holly. That's the name of my new album.
Yeah.
So... So, what, is he, you know, is he an American then, or was he with the British film crew?
No, he's very British, but he was on the film crew, but that's when we sort of, like, decided we were going to go out with each other, and it's just such a funny story, because so, when you tell them the story, they go, okay, and they change the subject and start talking about something
really? See, now that's funny to me.
Lesbian witches.
They're just jealous, Gail, that they don't have a story that can match lesbian witches and Buddy Holly's ghost. So...
Midnight,
how did you meet your husband? We bumped into each other at the bank. We went through speed dating.
No, exactly.
Oh, really?
That's
cute.
At least I've got a decent story, you know.
Now, how did he respond when he was filming the show with you? I mean, did you start the relationship during the show, or was it after?
No, we were friends for ages and ages, and then we just sort of got together at one point, and... He was just filming it, and I think, you know, he's always like, don't tell anyone how we met. What, we're 10 lesbian witches on Buddy Holly's grave.
The reason I ask is because I know, you know, if you know, I've, you know, had two ex-wives, I've got three daughters. If they're filming, I'd be very protective if, you know, to be in a spooky situation like that. Right, but
you're not psychic. You didn't see that one coming.
Exactly. You know, how come, I didn't see both of them coming. That's the problem. How did, you know... Did he ever get protective on the set, worrying about you as well?
Are you joking? No, he's English. He didn't care.
Come on, Gail. We're trying to get the shot. Yes. So
just do the shot, Gail. I don't care if you're getting possessed. Just do the shot. I need to go to bed. Okay, thanks, dude.
What would you say, out of all of the shows, which one was your favorite of the shows to film?
Gosh, I think it probably had to be the Lucille Ball show, because... we ended up on the Queen Mary, and it was the one time that I genuinely thought something bizarre had happened to me. And that was it. I mean, I've always loved Chris, but it was the one time that I thought, do you know what? With all my skepticism, something weird has happened, and Chris stuck by me and looked after me. And although it was the scariest experience I ever had, it was probably the closest I ever got to Chris, and the closest I got to thinking, okay, something's happening here, and for some reason I've been allowed to be a part of it, and Chris stuck by me. So I think that was probably my favorite show.
All right. Is there one that you just, now that you watch it you just hate the way it came off, or are there things that you regret about on the show yourself?
Not really. I mean, I know we got grumpy towards the end because we were freezing cold and the filming hours were just so ridiculously long that we just thought, oh. And sometimes, oh, I don't really watch any shows that I do apart from I watched the one about Lucille Ball, just because it took me about 6 months to watch it because I was scared of what I was going to see because I felt like I'd lost control of my body. But I don't really watch any of it. I don't like watching myself on television. It's like listening to your voice on an answering machine message. You know, it's a bit weird. You're like, oh, I don't like that. So I'm quite happy to do the jobs. But obviously, there's some times that I was much more tired because we worked on a real hectic schedule and they'd have us working, say, every single day for 3 weeks and we had no breaks and we were working all day, all night, having a few hours sleep, then back on it again. And sometimes you felt a little bit grumpy and probably grumpier than usual. And, you know, when it's the time of the month for a woman, poor Chris, do you know what I mean? It's like he's married to me. I was like, come on, you're psychic, man. You should have seen this one coming.
Exactly. That's what we always tell him. How could you not know that, psychic boy? Well, Gail, I want to thank you very much for spending time with us tonight, and we wish you a lot of luck in the future.
It's 5:05, so I'm going to go to bed and watch. You know what I watch? My favorite channel, the Crime Investigation Channel.
Oh,
I like to watch a bit of crime, a wee bit murder before I go to bed.
Oh, very nice. Well, thank. Like I said, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you spending time with us and, you know, banging out the trifecta. We've had all the biggies now from the paranormal shows on our radio show, and you were the last one, so thanks for coming on. And if you guys end up doing something else, we'd love to have you on and talk about the new programs. And
we'll be on any time you want, so just give Chris a call or me a call, and we'll come on. We could do a joint Mr. and Mrs. type show.
Very great. Yeah, actually, we'd love to have you both on and talk to you about some of that stuff, and also let's look at having you out to one of the live events in the future.
Brilliant. All right, my love. It's lovely to speak to you.
It was great speaking with you. Thank you very much. And thank you all for tuning into the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show and spending your Sunday nights here with Tim and I. We're very grateful for you and for your time. And again, we want to thank our good friend Chris Fleming for reaching out to Gail and helping to get her on the show tonight. We want to thank Gail. It's a very late night for her to spend time with us here. So again, thank you to all involved. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember, the show will be up on the site within about 48 hours. So if you want to download it and share it with your friends, it's a great idea. Let people know about it. Check out our website too, darknessevents.com. We have new events coming up. We want to keep you abreast of those situations. And also check out anamericanghosthunter.com, and you can go visit with Tim Dennis and Chad Kalick and the cast of An American Ghost Hunter, some other great speakers, as they're going to Nolan's to do a very cool paranormal birthday bash for Chad Kalick. So thanks again for tuning in. We'll talk to you again next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.